Blog Talk Radio. What I'm talking about, Creatures of the Night, right here. It's a good day for lacrosse with JoJo War, drummer and co-host, my guest, and I'm going to also call him a co-host tonight, Tom Bovey. And you know, the words right there from, you know, you guys noticed that I changed my theme song a little bit again, because sometimes I go along with the season, so to speak. It is October, meaning it is Rocktober. Okay, and Tom Bovey and I, the rock stars, two of the rock stars of lacrosse and Major League Lacrosse, are about to we're in hiding right now, so to speak, because it's off season. Yeah, right. There's no off season. You know, we're gonna whisper until we shout, just like that song said. And that song was also called Creatures of the Night because it is Halloween month, so to speak, right? Okay, so anyways, without further ado, it's a good day for lacrosse with JoJo War Drummer. Let's quit messing around, man, because at 5 p.m. Eastern time, okay, roughly 4 hours ago, just over 4 hours ago, Major League Lacrosse had taken all the submissions for the for each franchise. Let's get into it. Let's quit messing around, man. Let's get into it, man. Tom Bovey doesn't need an introduction, but here he is anyways. Everybody, Tom Bovey.
Yeah, we got we got 12 man, or I guess 10 or 12 man protected rosters. I don't think anybody's keeping two goalies. No offense to the backup goalies in the league, but I don't think anybody's doing that. I think we're going to see 12 players on every roster. And yeah, we got those coming out tomorrow at noon. Supposedly, we got a couple, not just one, but a couple of trades going to be announced beforehand. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the delay in the roster release is we're going to hear about some guys are going to change teams and get protected by their new team versus their old team. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see where this is. You know, this is the most event-filled offseason we've had in a long time. I mean, last year we had the Rabel trade that was all everybody talked about through the whole season, right up until he won another championship. But this year, we have events.
Tom, real quick, man, about the Rabel trade, which JoJo Wardrummer predicted before that season started, quite a few months before that season started, JoJo Wardrummer predicted that Paul Rabel was going to go to another team. Anyways, go ahead. Keep going, bud.
it's nice to actually have like a series of scheduled events this off season. You know, we're getting an expansion draft, so we're going to see. Everybody wanted two teams, but we're only going to see one. So mm-hmm. we're going to see the Atlanta Blaze come out, make I believe it's 15 picks consecutively in the expansion draft, and have their choice of the guys who get left off of tomorrow's roster.
What do you think about that, Tom? Because that is huge. Just let people know the grasp of the Atlanta Blaze. Not so much luck, but the good fortune that they're going to be handed to them of what you just said. Because every player in the league, whether you're the 12 guys, 10 guys, whatever, protected, everyone that's left out is extremely stellar players, man. So how good is that for the Atlanta Blaze?
Well, if you think about it, you know, you got 10 players on a lacrosse team on the field, no matter what unit is out there, you got 10 guys at a time. But if you're on offense, you've got three offensive midfielders, three attackmen, three defenders, and a goalie. Now, if you shift to defense, those three midfielders change to three completely different players. So now you've got 13 starters instead of 10. Add in your faceoff unit, you add at least a 14th starter. So teams have 14, what I would consider starters, 14 guys who are on the first line for their particular job, and you can only keep 12. So we're going to see guys who made impacts on teams, guys who are a fourth midfielder, instantly become expendable because you can't keep them. Do you leave your short stick defensive midfielder off the roster because you're keeping your offensive midfield? Do you leave your face-off guy in the wings because you're protecting your LSM? I mean, we're going to see some interesting moves made, and some guys that have never been available before are now available.
And that is huge, man. You said always 10 guys on the field. What? Would you say that to Brian Spina, please, so he could stop getting those penalties?
Well, you know, New York played with 9 a lot, but that's his game. He plays the intimidation game,
yeah.
And no one can argue with the fact that he has all the rings. So
you can say what
you want. You can call him a bad guy. You can call him an evil person. You can say he plays with malicious intent. I would not disagree with any one of those statements. But the guy wins, and the guy wants to win. And he would literally kill the attackman on the other team for his team. And you know, there's something to be said for that, too.
And you know what? It's sort of speak figuratively, he'll bring him back to life after the game because he'll be the first one to pick that guy up and tell him, great game. That Brian Spina is what one of the top, in my books, he's one of the top, no matter defense, offense, or whatever, one of the top 5 players in Major League Lacrosse history.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to disagree with the pedigree of championships. You know, in other sports, you make arguments for who's the best player is of all time, and they always end. You know, you can point to Brodie Merrill as probably being the best defenseman in Major League Lacrosse history. You could look at Lee Zink as probably being the only guy I think can battle him for that. But how do you hold Spina out of that conversation when he has more championships than the other two combined and doubled?
Yep. Plus another two. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Since we went on the roll with Brian Spina, let's talk a little bit, and we'll get back to this and everything else, but let's take it a little bit in order here. Let's start off with the champions, if you will. The Major League Lacrosse champions right now are, and still, the New York Lizards. What do you think, they're going to let go? Not let go, but who do you think they're not going to have on that roster?
You know, the funny part about that is you talk about Spina, and I think that's a guy you don't have to protect.
Really?
It's an interesting factor because I don't think he plays anywhere else. I think he is a New York player, and the other teams are gonna know that there's nowhere else for him to go. He'll just tell you he's not gonna play for you. Atlanta can call all they want, but he has no intention of going there. So if you're sitting in Coach Tucker's shoes, you can't take that pick, waste that pick for a guy just to keep him off of somebody else's roster. It's too early in the season. This isn't the supplemental draft. It's not Coach Cottle taking veteran guys just to keep them from other teams. This is an expansion draft. He needs to put together his core players and get them in the lineup. So I think New York has the luxury
of... Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
a risk no team should take, huh? If they do that,
I wouldn't take that risk. And you know, let's be honest, Spina's not a young guy, and at times he can be a liability on defense. But when you have the players around him that New York has, and you have the luxury of having the best goalie in the world, and you have the luxury of having his brother as the coach, you find a way to make him almost a crease defenseman. So. They were able to cover up for him a lot, and his leadership is irreplaceable. But I think that's a player you don't have to protect because he's not going anywhere.
That was an excellent point because to be quite frank here, okay, I had Spilina 100%, like as close to as 100% as you could get. Like, there's no way they would not protect him. But that was a good point. Because I could see Brian saying, like, there's no way I'm going to go to another team.
See, another guy, and where I'm going off the Lizards track here, but another guy I look at in the same light is Matt Bocklet. I think Denver has the luxury, with him living in Denver, with him being in that situation, that he's not going to be willing to play for another team. I don't see Atlanta pulling him off of that roster. So I think some of these teams have a guy, not many, there's not many guys that you have that luxury of doing that with, but there are some guys that just won't play for anybody else because of where they live, because of their situation, because of everything else they got going on. And I think your teams where a lot of guys live in those cities, Boston, New York, Denver, they have a huge advantage in this situation because those guys want to play for that team because it's local.
I totally agree now. I agree, I would say, a strong 90% about the Brian Spilina, okay? But at least a 90%. But the Bocklet, I'm not too sure because then you can start saying, like, what about John Grant Jr.? Do you take that risk as well and the other players as well? You know what I mean? What do you think, Tom?
See, I think with Grant Jr., you can't get away with that. I think the same factor is true. I don't think if Atlanta picked up John Grant Jr. in this draft, if he was available, it's hard to say. He would prefer not to play for them, but I think his competitive spirit says he would.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to play. So that's something with him that you know, I think he prefers to be in Denver. He wants to be local. He's on the NLL and the MLL team there in that city. He's allowed to be with his family. They've relocated there. So, but at the same time, the difference between, and this is nothing against Matt Bocklet. I love the guy. I think he's one of the best long stick midfielders to play in this league. He's not John Grant Jr.
I agree.
And if I'm a coach and John Grant Jr. is on that list, and there's a 10% chance he's going to play for me, I'm taking him at some point in that draft.
One of the best ever. What about now? Let's go to who do you think out of New York, the New York Lizards? We already went that Spilina. That would be him. Now let's go to the runners up. Okay, in the championship game, it was the Rochester Rattlers, the other team from New York. Who do you think may surprise people that they might not be on that protected list? Maybe like one or two of them that people might say, like, wow, really? Or is there?
Absolutely. I when I narrowed down these rosters to think of who I was going to keep, I had 14, 15, 16 guys on all of them. And then I had to figure out where I go from there. On Rochester, a guy who's incredibly undervalued and who I think they'll be forced to not keep is Will Kashansky. He's a terrific defenseman out of Penn, played for them his whole career. He had his best season last year. He was terrific and fit well with John Lade and John LoCascio on either side of him as kind of that defensive unit. He's not a big body like Manley is. He doesn't have that physical presence, but he's a great on- and off-ball defender, and I think they're going to be forced to leave him in the wings. Another guy is Randy Stotts. I just don't see with his NLL commitments how they can protect him and keep him on that roster. I love the guy. He's probably one of my top five players in Syracuse history, and I am a diehard Syracuse fan. But I just don't see looking at the other guys they have with his NLL commitments how you hang on to him.
So Stotts could be your guy. Wow. Okay. That would be huge if they don't protect him. That would be huge. Let's go with who would go next? Let's go with the Ohio Machine. How about the Ohio Machine?
See, Ohio is probably the toughest roster to predict because when I ran through my mind who I thought they would keep, I had Peter Baum, Jesse Bernhardt, Billy Bitter, Kyle Harrison, Marcus Holman, Brian Karolunas, Brian Phipps, Jackson Place, Greg P, because I'm going to butcher the last name, Schreiber, Stanwyck, and Dana Wilbur. That to me, that's their core. And then I looked at it, and I'm like, God, I didn't keep Dominique Alexander. So do you find a spot for him? Do you let Jesse?
Yeah.
Do you let Jake do you let Jake Bernhardt go to keep Dominic Alexander? I think in hindsight I probably would make that deal, but this team has, and how do you, you know, if there's a 10% chance that he's going to play, or he's going to play in 50% of the games or whatever, how do you not keep Logan Chush? I know they replaced him with Bitter, but God, that team played their best lacrosse when he was on the field 2 years ago. So this is a tough one, but I think either Jake Bernhardt or Dominic Alexander, one of those two is going to get left in the wind.
Okay. And then what about, so you're saying obviously 100% they're going to keep Harrison.
Oh, absolutely. I've been told multiple times by people in the Ohio organization that Kyle Harrison is going to retire a machine member or a member of the machine.
Yeah, you'd be one of those guys. I could see that, man. Harrison is a pretty loyal guy, and he's not only a stand-up guy, but he's a very loyal guy. So I think that works both ways for the Ohio machine and for Kyle Harrison. Okay, let's move on to the Boston Cannons. Tom, what about the Boston Cannons?
See, Boston's an interesting one because, you know, now you lost your coach. And not only did you lose your coach, but you lost your coach to the team who's going to be picking. John Tucker wins Coach of the Year and then moves down to Atlanta to take over the new franchise. But he drafted his son fourth overall last year. So in Boston shoes, do you hold on to Tucker despite the fact that I don't know that he fits as a member of your 12? I don't know that he's one of your top 12 players. Do you hang on to him just to keep him away from his dad? Or do you use that as trade bait? Is that maybe the trade we're going to see tomorrow?
MLL, the teams like to work together, but then again, at the same time, it's a sport, and you got to get that Steinfeld trophy. Do you think a team will still do that to another team about his kids?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're Boston, you want to field the best guys available. On the flip side, you've got a guy like Scott Ratliff on your roster who's, you know, one of the best defenders in the league, arguably the best transition log stick in the league, and he lives in Atlanta. Born and raised Atlanta, still lives there. So do we see him potentially move down to Atlanta as a piece of a trade that maybe sends Tucker along with him? I mean, is that
I see it.
That's the trade I've been predicting all along. Was to see him make that move.
I definitely see Ratliff with the Blaze.
The only thing you have going is Atlanta. All they have is picks. I don't think an expansion pick is worth Scott Ratliff, let alone throwing in Tucker as part of the deal. So you look, is that a value for the number one overall pick? Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think you take an all-star, talented, incredibly efficient defender and a guy who you took fourth overall last year as a coach, who obviously you know better than any other player in the league, and you find a way to make that your number one pick. I think that's a possibility. Again, I'm speculating, but that is a deal that I would make. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because when I mentioned it to a couple of coaches and GMs this week when I was talking with them, every single one of them said I would not trade Ratliff. So what's it going to take to pull that player out of that team and get him to your hometown team?
It'll take something. I think something could be pulled off. Even though the GMs coaches say that, I could see Ratliff, man, with the Blaze. Somehow, hey, if it's not now during the off season, I could see it during the middle of the season, something happening where Ratliff goes to the Blaze.
It sure feels like it has a ton of potential to it, and the way I look at Boston's roster right now, trimming that one down to 12 is going to be difficult. So that would free up two spots by making that deal. Although when I drew up my 12-man, what my expectations were, I didn't put Tucker on it.
Okay, I'm just going to chuckle at that one because that's good stuff, man. good stuff. We're gonna recap on everything too, everybody. It's a good day for lacrosse with JoJo Wardrummer. You're gonna find JoJo Wardrummer and Tom Bovey hitting this up on the MLL Radio, hitting this up on the Laxworm Radio Experience. Find myself on Twitter. It's JoJoWar_Drummer. Find Bovey, my man Bovey, on Twitter. It's at Bovey Lax, and that's spelled BoveElx. BoveElx. Okay, so Bovey, what about the Denver Outlaws? What is your take on the Denver Outlaws? What are they going to do?
You know, as we kind of alluded to earlier, Denver is one of those teams that has so many local guys that it's tough to figure out who stays and who goes. I'll tell you, my first prediction is they ain't keeping a goalie. Dylan Ward, you did great. You tried hard. I don't believe you were as committed, and I don't think you keep a goalie who's an NLL player. So Denver's going to start this whole process off without a goalie. Another guy I think has to go because of how his season basically ended. They already let him go once, is Anthony Kelly. As unfortunate as that is, I think the guy he's one of the best guys to ever wear an MLL uniform. If you ever get a chance to meet him, truly a fantastic guy. But the player that I looked at on this roster that I had the most trouble letting go was Eric Adamson. We didn't get to see much of him last year. We didn't get to see really what he had to do. He's a local guy, produced a ton for the Denver Pioneers.
For Tierney.
You know, they made a trade for him and brought him in, and we didn't get to see what he can do. So, but at the same time, if you're going to keep the core of your roster, you lose that guy. So I guess if I look at Denver, I've got him keeping Wesley Burke. I'm keeping Chris Bocklet because I think you have to. As I alluded to, I'm letting Matt Bocklet go only because I think he's mine for free. You have to keep John Grant Jr. You have to keep Eric Law. Jeremy Noble has been tremendous for them in spurts. I'm waiting for the light switch to turn on, but another local product who is a fantastic player. Chris O'Doherty, terrific defender. Justin Pennington has been whatever you've needed him to be for years. Dylan Roy is one of the best defenders in the league. Max Schmidt stepped into and played terrific for them last year. Jeremy Sieverts, that goes without saying. Michael Simon is a terrific defender. And Drew Snyder is the heart and soul of your team. So when you look at who I kept, that, you know, that instantly you're letting Dominic Sebastiani potentially go. As I alluded to, Dylan Ward, you've got a lot of guys who I don't know if I can even picture them outside of a Denver uniform. Michael Bocklet, who was your points leader last year, who came out of nowhere, but I don't know how you hang on to them with the guy and let one of these other guys go.
I think I agree with a lot of it, but I say, how can you let Mike Bocklet go? I think that's too big of a risk. I mean, can he go play from an East Coast team? Since, you know, he's from there, you know, the New York area. And I mean, he would go. He was getting ready to play for the New York Lizards in a couple of years ago. But can he still? Hello, Tom, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there you go. There you go. I think Mike Bocklet is definitely a keeper, man. I would not let him go. Adamson, I would have to say the same thing about Adamson, even though we didn't get to see much of him. But the dude's a straight up rock and roll guy, man, on that lacrosse field, and he produces you know stats, man, Tom, and he produces some stats, and he produces them well. Per the time he's on the field, the dude is he's a maniac on the field, man. He's super, super solid. You can count on him for hustle. You can count on him for a lot of things that you can't count on other players for. I think Mike Bocklet and Adamson stay.
You might have
that's
the
risky,
benefit
that's
of you might have the benefit with Jeremy Noble that I said you had with Matt Bocklet as well, of him being a local guy. He refused to play for a an NLL team outside of Denver. So there's a chance that he you get him back for nothing too by letting him go. So that would free up a spot mm-hmm. for either Michael Bocklet or Eric Adamson. But again,
good point, because I have talked to Jeremy Noble like you know just hanging out in the streets, like literally just hanging out, and you're right on point right there, my man. He wanted to do everything he can. He wanted to do everything he can to stay in Colorado. And go, what were you going to say?
Oh, well, that gives you the benefit. But at the same time, when I look at the guys I kept, I have trouble letting any of them go. The only guy I'm pulling back is Michael Bocklet. If I'm letting one mm-hmm. of these other guys go, nothing against Adamson, but I haven't seen enough of a sample to let a proven veteran champion go to keep him.
The Outlaws could bank on that. They could say, like, man, what if the Blaze or the Lizards or whomever, what if they didn't notice that about Adamson and they take that chance? And, you know, maybe some people talk too much. I don't know right now. But anyways, the Outlaws are an interesting story, man, because, you know, everybody knows that they were – as of last year, they were the defending champions, finally got that championship belt, that championship ring, that championship Steinfeld trophy. And then they just barely missed the playoffs last year. Obviously, they didn't even get to the playoffs. So they have a lot of work cut out for them. What do you think about the coaching staff about the Outlaws? Do you think they keep the coaching? I do. I think so.
They had – and they're going to have, again, a tremendous amount of turnover from the championship to last season. And now they're going to, you know, you're losing Jesse Schwartzman. I've been an MLL fan since literally day one. I've been around since literally day one, which is even worse. But I don't know if I know what the MLL is like without Jesse Schwartzman. I don't know that I know how to watch an Outlaws game and not expect to hear him, and I'm going to call it whining because that's what it was, from the cage all game long. He was a part of this league. I never rooted for the guy. I'll be the first to admit it. I love to root against him, but I always had him there to root against. He was always the villain in my MLL story, and it made it so much fun to watch them play, and I already miss him, despite the fact that we haven't seen him play without him yet.
You know, Tom, Jesse Schwartzman is pretty much one of a kind. I start to see, when I'm at the youth games and high school games and stuff, I see a couple, little resemblances here and there from goalies, the kids, barking and shouting out that. But they're still young. They have several years to get to the MLL. There's not an MLL player like that right now. I can't think of a college player anywhere in college right now that's like a Jesse Schwartzman, man. Can you? I can't think of it, man. I'm going to miss the two.
No. He is a one-of-a-kind personality. The only other guy that we've seen anything like him, it was Doc Doherty.
Doc Doherty was the only one. Yep.
Both electrifying personalities that got their team going, got the crowd going, got everybody involved, and made them fun to watch. There is no replacing him with that team. And I don't know how they're going to do it, but it's a daunting task for that coaching staff. And we've seen time and time again that it doesn't matter how good of a college goalie you are, you're stepping into a different game.
You know, Tom. I know we're obviously sticking on the Outlaws for a little bit longer. You know, no surprise, I'm making it stay here for a little bit longer. But check this out, Tom. When Doc Doherty used to come over here to Denver, and then I'll be jumping right there, and then I would talk to him. Like before the game, the guy was a pleasure to. The guy's huge, man. He's a big dude, but he was a pleasure to talk to. But man, once we were on that field, I actually used to think this, Tom. I was like, okay, it's gonna be it's Jesse Schwartzman versus Doc right now. This is so awesome. I mean, you know, like even later on, even after Doc retired, I was like, man, where's Doc at? Where we need Doc? It was cool stuff.
There's only been so many players in this league that their personality became them, and when they left, or when they retired, or when they stopped playing, you wondered, you missed them, not just because of what they did on the field. Schwartzman's record speaks for itself, but because of who they were. Connor Martin, Doc Doherty, the Gate brothers, the Powells. We've had players come and go that their personality was larger than the game, and Schwartzman absolutely fits that bill, and he was just again, as a long time MLL fan, when I think of the Denver Outlaws, that's the first player I picture, and I don't know how you change that.
They make the game, and the game makes them, and I think it's a two-way street going the same way. You know what I mean? It's you're not crossing each other's paths. You guys they're in the same lane. You know, I think they're all equal, man, because if it wasn't for the MLL, it wouldn't be them, and it would be unlucky for us that we weren't able to see it. But I think it's all equal, Tom, and I just dig the history of many of these players. You know, just so much, man. It's a pleasure. Like, kind of like, you know, like for example, the NBA is not like what it used to be, not even close to what it used to be, because there's not like the players like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, you know, and Havlicek and all these guys, man. It's not like that anymore. But you know what? I want to transition here a little bit, Tom. And we're gonna go back, everybody. We're gonna go back, and we're gonna go back with the BayHawks. But Tom, What I'm talking about a little bit is the officials. The officials, the referees for the game are super huge in professional sports. That's why the NBA, I think, is hurting right now, because they're allowing so many players get away with so much. That's why I think, like, even though he's very popular and everything like that, because of the media and everything like that, it's easier to get more popular. But like LeBron James. If LeBron James was back in the day when there was in the 70s, the 80s, and even early 90s, even late 60s, he would not be LeBron James as he is now, because can he take it? Well, the refs will let you play, man. You got to play. That's one thing I love about the officiating in Major League Lacrosse, man. Every player, no matter who you are, whether you're Paul Rabel or whether it doesn't matter who you are, you're out here to respect this game, and the fans to respect you, and for you to respect the fans. And I know what you said, larger than the game, but this is a little bit different. No player is larger than the game, or you're going to get away with a bunch of garbage like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say that there aren't players in Major League Lacrosse that still maybe get a few better calls, or I'm not. I don't think better, more calls than others. I think. We talked about him earlier. I've watched Ryan Spleena get called for breathing on a guy. So reputation does hold true with officials. They eyeball certain guys more, and in all sports, you have to do what's best for the fan also. And I think the NBA has started to recognize that. Having superstars and having players that make unbelievable plays sells your game to the fans. And the more fans, the more money. And that's the end of the day. And the MLL is the same way. They want that money. And I don't blame them. Everybody does. Every single person on this earth is at least somewhat motivated by that drive. It might not be your only goal in life. You might talk about other things, but at the end of the day, there has to be some drive towards making a better life for yourself and your family, and money does that. So when you look to sell the game and sell the stars, the NBA has done a better job in the last few years than any league besides that. And I think that is something the MLL is missing out on. I'm not entirely sure. I'm going to blank on who wrote the article, but we had an article this offseason saying that the MLL needs more stars. And I couldn't agree more with that. I think we absolutely need to market these players better.
Yes, I agree, but I don't think the route, even though there's money, okay, basketball is easy to do. It's easy to go to the store and get a basketball, whether you're here in the United States or whether you're in Mexico or whether you're in Japan or it doesn't matter where you are. It's easy just to go pick up a ball and find a hoop. It's a lot more difficult to get the lacrosse stick and the lacrosse ball and the helmet and everything like that to represent the sport as easy. Okay, so basketball has it a lot easier. I think that's the route that the NBA took, and then they marketed off like these LeBron James and so on and so forth. But the style that I was talking about, the officiating, like letting players get away with too much, to me is a super turn off. Me, I can't watch. I can't do it anymore, man. The way so many people, a lot of fans say like, hey, I wonder who's going to make it to the playoffs this year. You can already map it out so easily, man. In the Major League Lacrosse, you can't really do that. Every team, whether you're the last place team or the first place team, any team could be in the playoffs and any team could win that championship the following year. That's where stars arise. Okay, for like Major League Lacrosse, there's so many stars. There's so many stars because each and every player is so fantastic. And I think that's what I respect so much more about the officiating, because they let the players play the game and they don't play the game for the fans. They let the players play the game for the fans. And that's one reason why a lover of true sports and true competition and true ownership to the game and the respect and the honor of the game is why Major League Lacrosse, I think, steps up above. I mean, you know, it's even though it's the oldest game in America, you know, organized game in America, it's still the newest game, organized game in America, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And basketball has a lot more years, decades in this. Okay, so but the way that Major League Lacrosse is going, it's crazy. Lacrosse is the fastest growing team sport, okay, anywhere. And you would think it still should be basketball, because all you need to do is go pick up a basketball or soccer. Go pick up a soccer. The Major League Soccer, MLS, has so many players from around the world. Okay, not just, you know, U.S. and even Canada and Mexico, but around the world. They have so many players in Major League Soccer. The MLL doesn't have. I mean, you have USA and you have some Canada. And where else do you have? I mean, players that were actually drafted from Australia, drafted from Japan. And there's players, I think, that are in those countries that can play. Okay, and if not now, very, 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 very soon. But there's not enough teams right now. So it just says a lot, Tom. What I'm saying is, it just says a lot about the love of lacrosse and the passion for lacrosse, that it's still the fastest growing sport anywhere, and you still have to buy all this equipment. So you can imagine when teams have a little bit easier access, a little bit more access to this game, to the media of the game, and for the love of this game, to bring teams to their hometown and their home cities and their home countries and everything like that, how much crazier it's going to be. And, Tom, it's awesome that I'm a part of it and you, my man, are a part of it as well. But and Major League Lacrosse, in my book, it's the premier lacrosse league in the entire world. But, Tom, let's get back. I don't want to cut you off, my man, but let's get back, because we only have roughly 20 more minutes. Let's get back on track here. And let's get on with the Bayhawks. Any surprises from my man Tom Bovey on who from the Bayhawks may leave and Brian Reese? Brian Reese may be listening.
I can set personal feelings aside on every team except for one, on every player except for one. There's a guy on this roster I'm not keeping, and it's not because of how he performed, but I'm not keeping Matanowski. If I'm Brian Reese, I'm going to allow him to test the market, because I don't think anybody else is taking him.
Tom.
I would literally dare Atlanta to pick him up, because I when he's not motivated and not in tune with the guys around him, you end up with what he was his last season in Charlotte. You get a guy who is going to do his own thing, regardless of whatever anybody else is doing, regardless of the offense. He's going to suddenly become an isolation player. We're going to see the man sheen return, and he's going to do whatever is programmed in his mind. And so I'm going to dare another team to take him. I'm going to leave him off my protected roster and see what you can do. But Chesapeake has to keep, a lot of guys. It's a roster in flux because you have such a mix of old and not enough youth yet. And do you hang on to Brendan Mundorf? Joe Keegan is one of the other Lagstert guys and knows as much about lacrosse as anyone I've ever met. And he didn't keep Mundorf on his protected roster that when we exchanged rosters back and forth. And I think that's wild, but after so many surgeries and missing an entire year, and the guy's my age. I mean, he's not young. How much does he have left to bring back out on the field and dominate again? Is he still a premier attackman? Are you going to let somebody else maybe have a shot at him? Or will he even play for another team? Is he happy now that he's,
he's
so
at home.
There's some guys on this roster that are question marks in that situation.
Tom, let me jump in here real quick, man. I see the connection with Brian Reese and Brendan Mundorf. I see Mundorf staying with the team. That's for one reason. Another reason is I think since he was gone the last season, and he recuperated a successful surgery. He's at home, like I said, Brian Reese. Do I think he still could be a premier attackman for the Major League Lacrosse? I think absolutely, 100%, my man. Because this dude, you got to see, before when he was at the Denver Outlaws, he was the very first one, and nobody even close to the timing, like literally the time on the clock, on the field warming up, Tom. When the coaches called him in, he was literally by long shot the last one leaving the lacrosse field. I think maybe he just overworked himself a little bit. He started getting wise. He left the NLL for a little bit to recuperate a little bit, but then unfortunately he got jacked up again, man. I mean, it happens. You know, it's kind of like it sucks, man. I imagine if that happened to Dominique Wilkins, that would suck. But I think Brendan Mundorf, yes, he could be a premier attackman again, and I think he will be. And I do think the Bayhawks keep him, man. Go ahead, Tom. I interrupted you. Go for it. Keep going.
I love the guy as a player. I think he's a tremendous player. But I've had a number of ankle surgeries in my life, and I know how you come back each time. You lose a little bit each time, and the more you have, the more surgeries you have, especially on your lower body, the more you lose. The first surgery might take 2%, but the next one takes 5%, and the next one takes 7%. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. We have not heard boo about him in a long time, and I think the team keeps him because I do think he's a tremendous player. And if he can come back at 90% of what he was, he's still a top 5 attackman in this league. He's a terrific player.
That's true.
But do you protect him in the sense that is he willing to play anywhere else? I know he lives not far from that area, so their roster it has a couple of guys that you want to keep, you don't want to keep, you should keep. You just wonder. This team, there's no doubt in my mind, this team has been old the last two seasons. And, you've got a couple guys. You've got Joe Walters. Joe Walters, it doesn't matter how old Joe is. He is a tremendous player and will still get the job done. But he plays two-thirds of a season. Drew Westervelt plays two-thirds of a season. So you have to value that at that value. So it's difficult, and this roster is difficult because they cannot afford a slow start again next year.
Excuse me. Good point, Tom. And everybody, it's a good day for lacrosse with JoJo Wargermer, and my co-host right now is Tom Bovey. Hey, Tom, you made me think a little bit, and the Bayhawks, they definitely do are in the process of turning the clock backwards a little bit, and they do want to go young. But I'm going to go back into Mundorf a little bit. Yes, he got injuries, but he got older because, you know, us as humans, time goes by, we get older. But the time clock kind of stopped on him a little bit because he wasn't playing so much the past year, year and a half, even 2 years, wasn't playing so much. So the clock, so that 5, 10, even 15%, even if he comes back at 85% of time, of not playing, he still will have it. He'll get it in a second. He'll get it back. But what will the Bayhawks think? Because of his age, or will they think because of his will? And his will is as young as anybody. Let's move on to
I want to hit on the Bayhawks one more time.
Okay.
And it has more to do with the team not getting younger. Who is the last dominant player that the Bayhawks drafted that's still on the team? I mean, you can look at other teams and answer that question very easily. But with the Bayhawks, that's a much tougher question.
Mm-hmm.
They have not drafted well, and they've traded a lot of picks away.
Huh. See, you're making me miss Kyle Dixon now, too. See, let's stop it, man. I'm going to start getting all sad here. Tom, why are you going to do that to me? Bayhawks all MLL fans have a lovely fan base, but Bayhawks they have such a loyal fan base. I mean, they went from the Baltimore Bayhawks to the Chesapeake Bayhawks. Me personally, I think Baltimore Bayhawks was a win-win situation, just because, you know, you got the Baltimore Ravens and the Baltimore Orioles and stuff like that. It's a bigger name. Like people like in California or even Colorado and Texas, they heard of the name Baltimore. You know what I mean? Because it's a bigger market name. They went with the Chesapeake because they love their fans, and I think they might think about that. They might think about what the fans are going to think and the fans might want. And there you go. That's another spin right there. I just gave myself an old war drum roll right there, because the fans want championships. And what are you going to do to win championships? Ooh, man, Brian Reese, coach, Cotto, GM. They got their work cut out for them. It's going to be fun stuff, man. Tom Bovey, is it okay to move with you to move to the Charlotte Hounds now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go with the Charlotte Hounds. Tom Bovey, JoJo Wardrummer, and all the fans want to know what's Tom Bovey thinking about the Charlotte Hounds, and what are there going to be some prizes here besides the trade that just happened?
Well, yeah, they announced a trade, and then they didn't announce it. They just kind of told us that it was going to happen.
That's the part for you.
Charlotte has a ton of draft picks. I believe they're sitting on 3 first round picks. Depending on how everything works out, they should have. I know it's number 2 and number 3, so they're in a great position. They're in a great spot to have a lot of draft picks and make a lot of moves. The trouble is we've seen them have a lot of draft picks and make a lot of moves every year. So how that plays out going forward, this is Joey Sankey's team. It should be, that should be the way it is going forward. He destroyed my expectations of him, became a top flight attackman in the league. He looks like he was built to play Major League Lacrosse. The trouble is beyond him, I don't see a lot of guys that are exceptional. They have a lot of great players. I mean, Michael Earhart had a tremendous season for them. He might be the other guy who I would say is top flight. But there's a lot of just other guys on this roster. So when I broke it down, I was looking for guys who were going to make a difference. And, you know, a guy I let go that I didn't want to, Kevin Cunningham. I've always enjoyed watching him play. Just he's one of those guys that always does the little things well. But I also think you know what you're going to get from him game in and game out. And I don't know if his relationship with Sankey is enough to keep him on that roster and keep him as your third attackman? And you know, how does he fit? Justin Ward, talk about a guy who fell off a cliff last year. I just wanted so much more for him. I you know, me and Joe Keegan went back and forth about him because Joe was a huge fan of his, and I was hypercritical of him early in the season. And then as the season went on, you know, it's like watching a boxer get old in a hurry. You just want to see flashes of what he was once capable of, and you almost feel bad that it's just not there. And for Justin Ward, it's year number 1 3/4. I mean, he only played 3/4 of his rookie season because of, you know, college commitments. So he comes out, and you want to see him do something, and he just doesn't. So how do you keep him? How do you hold on to that guy when you didn't even dress him for half your games last year?
I think you keep him because the coaching staff of the Hounds. I mean, speaking of, like, you're good, man, because Sankey, Sankaho, and all of us, I didn't think anybody expected them, maybe except for the Charlotte Hounds, to do as phenomenal as he did. Okay, the dude just straight out, man, just rocked it. He is, you know, I talked with him in the airport before. He's like very quiet. He is humble, yes, but I mean, he's literally like very quiet and like has a smile on his face, and he's like soft spoken and very quiet. And then, but when he's on that lacrosse field, I think he's still quiet, like vocally, but the dude gets it done, man. He sinks a hole. Sankey sinks a hole in people's defense, and he finds it, man. And he's not a big dude. He's a little guy, but I think the coaching staff, speaking of how well the Charlotte Hounds could do and what they had, the Charlotte Hounds coaching staff, man, is quite stellar. Tom, should we move on to? Because we have roughly just under, we have about 6 minutes. Do you think would you want to move on to the Florida launch?
Oh yeah, we got time to knock Florida out of the park here. That one's a fairly easy roster.
Hey, real quick, you touched on the topic. I wish I should have put on the one to have, because there's something else I want to talk to you about, and that's cliches. Like you said, knock it out of the park. We need to start. Us lacrosse people, Tom, I'm telling you right now, JoJo Wardrummer, we need to start lacrosse cliches, okay? Not like hitting on the park. We need to say, like, we could run out of the crease with this, okay? And we could get the visual of Brett Queener. But let's run out of the crease with the Florida launch.
Florida is probably one of the easier rosters to predict because they have so much young talent and so much and just the right amount of all-stars. You got guys like Tucker Durkin, who you don't have a choice but to keep. He's too good. Casey Ikeda is a guy who stepped in and was terrific for them this past year. Kieran McArdle is probably the best scorer in MLL. Maybe not best overall attackman, but flat best scorer. Mm-hmm. Casey Powell.
Yep.
Now we're getting into that John Grant Jr. conversation. Is he going to play for anybody else? If this expansion team wasn't like a little bit to the north, if they weren't right in Atlanta from Florida, I would say you could risk that. If this team was in Houston, like we had hoped all off season or all during the season, then I don't think Casey travels.
Houston's
going to
happen,
but Atlanta's your next door neighbor, so you can't take that risk. Brett Queener is your emotional spark plug. You have to keep that guy. He just is, even if he only plays half the games, he is that team right now as far as on the defensive end, because he changes the game the second he steps
stay.
In the
yeah.
cage.
Yeah, he has
and the Thompsons.
He has to. Yeah.
And the Thompsons, yeah, that you've decided that they're going to be your future, and they absolutely should be. They're one of the few NLL players I think are locks to be kept on a roster. Chad Tutton is a future star in this league, and Connor Bucic is my favorite shooter to watch shoot. There's nobody in this league that I enjoy watching shoot more than that guy. So your roster's pretty set. Reed Acton's a guy who I didn't keep, who I love the way he carries the ball, but I want him to be a better on-ball defender, and he doesn't have it. Nicky Galasso is a maybe for me. I think he has a chance to be on it, but I didn't see quite enough from him in his first season. Obviously, it was a very short season, so that has a lot to do with it. Jovan Miller will not play this season, so I think he's off the roster, and I'll be happy to see that happen. And Chris Mattis is another guy that I didn't protect. I think he's a terrific player. I think you'll have trouble replacing him. But when you look at who they have to keep, the guys who I think are must-keeps, he just doesn't fit in with that 12 to me. Again, the guy is tremendous. He's been a player for that team his whole time there. But how he stands into that roster, I think you can grab another faceoff guy because I don't think Atlanta is going to grab a faceoff guy, let alone two, early in this or in this expansion draft, because I know the Beast isn't going to be available, and that's probably the only one that I would pluck off of a roster in an expansion draft.
A little touch up on Galasso. I mean, yeah, he's like a, it's weird. He's like a up and down guy from like season to season. Like his high school years, the dude was like a stud amongst studs. When he was in high school, and then college, he dropped down, and then he went up again. Like not just game to game, not just quarter to quarter, season to season. I mean, is it next year if whether he's with the Florida Launch or the Outlaws or the Lizards or whatever, he could have like just another breakout time, and he's just a monster out there again. Who knows, right?
He was ACC Freshman of the Year after being arguably one of the best high school lacrosse players in the state of New York history. He comes out, has a great year, and then gets hurt, and gets hurt multiple times. And that cost him the better part of two seasons. And then he comes out his senior year, has a terrific year for Cuse as kind of a swing midfielder / attackman, kind of playing both roles. And now he moved up to the league and doesn't get to play very much because obviously he's traveling for games and the situation of just finishing up college. The question is, you know, you have to make a serious commitment to be a Major League lacrosse player. It's not just
exactly
3 months of the season.
Right.
It's not just in season.
Right.
It's a year round job.
That's right.
Let's be honest. It is much of a job. What these players make, they don't play for the money. So you're making a commitment.
I kind of disagree with that term because I mean they play for the money, of course, because if they weren't going to get any money, they would do something else. But I know what you're saying. I just think it's a little over the top. Hey, Tom, I want to say something real quick because we have roughly 40 seconds. What about Houston, man? Everybody hit the hashtag bring MLL to Houston. Do you think Houston's going to – I think Houston should have the All-Star game again this coming year, Tom, and I think they should get it. They will get a team next season. What do you say?
I think it happens, but you got to have the right owners. That's what it's all about. Ownership is key. Regardless of the fan base, you got to have good owners.
And I think they could do it, man. They have the fans. Ooh, boy, do they have the fans, man. Woo! Their fans are awesome. And they have the right office staff. Those guys are incredible. Tom, it's my pleasure. Let's please do this again, maybe even next week, huh?
Sounds good, JoJo.
Awesome, my man. Everybody, we're in a 5-second countdown. Everybody, check out MajorLeagueLacrosse.com. Right on.